Voices of Wisdom Bible Church, the church of a distinct Christian generation.
God's management principles. We are on the 10th session on the topic. And I want us to bear in mind that basically the objective is to further enrich our commitments to Christ-like living in all aspects of our lives. The central objective for this subject is to further enrich Christ-like living that we are committed to. We have been called to it, and I want to believe you are committed to it in every aspect of your life. So this teaching is intended to help you achieve that commitment. So bringing people to Christ and discipling them to live the Christ-like life is the primary assignment of the church. So, and the scope of that Christ-like living include but not limited to just the spiritual church life. It covers all aspects of life. Somebody want me to come again? I said, bringing people to Christ and discipling them to live the Christ-like life is the primary assignment of the church. And the scope of that includes, but not limited to just the spiritual church life of church people or Christ followers, but all aspects of human endeavor. So I want you to again understand the meaning of Christ-like living as we have been able to unravel it from the scriptures in the past. Christ-like life is making the teachings of Jesus and the principles derivable from the scripture our culture or standard of living. So Christ-like life is making the teachings of Jesus or Christ-like living is making the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ and the principles derivable from scriptures, our culture or standard of living. It is this understanding that has informed the well-diversified manner we have been teaching on the management principles of God and their application to our day-to-day living. You will take notice that the items of our discussion were not limited to just what can help us to live the church life within the perimeter of the church wall or within just the circles of Christ followers, but that which can help us to follow Christ correctly and also influence our society positively. Praise the name of the Lord. So last week, we kick-started another subtopic, and we are going on the second leg of that subtopic this morning, developing the keeper's spirit. And the intention or what we aim the word of God to achieve is to wake us up to our social spiritual responsibility to our environment, such that we will ensure that the material resources located within our sphere of geographical influence are properly managed for economic prosperity and the common good of humanity. Somebody want me to come again? Okay. I said last week, we kickstarted another dimension of discussion titled Developing the Keeper Spirit. And we set our goal for that discussion. And what is the goal? It's to wake us up to our social spiritual responsibility, that which we have to our environment, by ensuring that the material resources that are located within our sphere of geographical influence. We all have our sphere of geographical influence, sphere of interpersonal relationship, sphere of professional competence, okay? Sphere or circle, okay, of social influence. We all have that. So the material resources under our custody within those spheres of influence, okay, this teaching will help us on how we can properly manage them as stewards of those resources for economic prosperity and for the common good of humanity. So, will you permit me to therefore make it abundantly clear that being spiritually minded does not imply being utterly careless or economically reckless? So, being spiritually minded or living a Christ-like life should not insulate us or cut us off from being socially responsible. So, being spiritually minded does not imply being earthly careless or economically reckless. Being spiritually minded is not a ticket to be unconcerned about what happens to our environment. Should not make us to be unconcerned about what happened to our environment. So, as believers, we have the dominion mandate to take charge of our environment. And as we studied in the past from the book of Genesis, you will take notice that dominion mandate started as physical responsibility for the coordination and supervision of creation. Hello? The dominion mandate that we have from God, from the book of Genesis chapter 1, you read verse 26, 27, and 28, explicitly declared by God there, you will take notice that it started as physical responsibility. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 50, God created a garden and put man in charge and asked him to keep and to dress it. So the dominion mandate that man received from God started as physical responsibility for the coordination and supervision of creation. It didn't start as religious obligation of prayer. This may sound very radical, but that is the truth of the scripture. After God had created man and put man in the garden, okay, did God ask him, stay in this garden and be praying? Answer me, church. So the dominion mandate that we lay claim to as believers let us get that understanding that it started as physical responsibility for the coordination, for the supervision of creation, and not as religious obligation of prayer. Not as religious obligation of casting out demons. Not as religious obligation of performing miracle, to which we have narrowed it to in today's church. Do you know that we have narrowed exercising dominion in the church family, in the church circle, okay, to just spiritual exercise, and we are neglecting our social responsibility. So the first man, Adam, in his true state of true image of God before he fell, did not require any of such. What was expected of him was to take charge of a practical duty of exercising dominion over creation. Is somebody following my line of argument? So, some people have observed today that much prayer going on in Africa has not impacted much on the economic fortune of Africa. And it is rightly so, because human efforts that prayers should complement have been grossly neglected. Are we together? So the problem is not prayer. Okay? The problem is doing one out of many others and neglecting those other ones that are vital. So those who have observed that much prayer going on in Africa has not impacted much on the economic fortune of Africa, governance affair of Africa, orderliness in Africa, prudent management of abundant resources in Africa, have done so rightly. Okay, but they get it wrong if they think kicking out religiosity, kicking out prayer will be the solution. No. They have observed rightly, because human efforts that prayer should complement have been grossly neglected. Are we together? So, therefore, let me say again for the opening time that a prudently managed limited resources in developed economies has been observed to produce prosperity, that abundant natural resources in underdeveloped and developing economy has not been able to match. So, in the developed economies, they have limited resources, but management, prudent management, has helped them to be able to live in affluence. In underdeveloped economy or developing economy, we have abundant resources, but absence of prudent management has glued us to abject poverty. May God use this dimension of teaching to change the situation in the name of Jesus. So let truth be told. Until the discipline of godliness, but my definition of godliness is not hypocritical religion. So, until the discipline of godliness and prudent management of resources are inculcated by both the leaders and citizens in a developing economy like Nigeria, the devil will continue to wrongly take the blame for what is within human capacity to control. So the devil is taking so much blame for what is actually within our ordained or creative capacity to control. And The antidote to that is that both the leadership and citizens must inculcate the discipline of godliness and marry that efficiently with prudent management of resources. So again, I want it noted very seriously that casting out devils are requiring miracles were aftermath of the fall of man. Like I said earlier, at creation, physical responsibility was what we saw that God gave to man. So, which means if man had not fallen, are we together? All this spiritual exercise of casting out devils and requiring miracle may not be necessary, because they are all aftermath of the fall of man. But then we should also take note that all that will eventually cease at the millennium reign of Christ. Hello? Hello? At the millennium reign of Christ, nobody will be sick. At the millennial reign of Christ, okay, the witches and wizards will not be there with us. Are we together? So, at that time, there shall be perfect tranquility between man and all elements of nature. What does that indicate? This indicates that the restraining power of sin over the dominion mandate man has over nature is therefore limited and temporary. That dominion mandate we have after the fall, okay, has become, in a way, interfered with by the devil. And so we are in that constant struggle with the powers of darkness. And man, with all that he has been able to do and achieve, has not been able to attain the highest level of his creative power. And some parts of the world are grossly backward in that regard. But the good news is that the restraining power of sin that has hampered the dominion mandate that man has over nature is limited and temporary. It can be checkmated now. And of course, it will be completely vacated at the millennium. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now let's check Isaiah 11. The book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11. I read from verse 6. This is going to be the experience in at millennium. The restoration of what man started with in the Garden of Eden. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Scavengers, carnivores, okay, will live with herbivores. And lion, hyena, wolf will lose their appetite for eating flesh. Are we together? And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, baby goat. Leopard and baby goat, they will cohabit. And that's why I said the restraining power that sin has exercised over our dominion mandate and tranquility of the geographical space that man occupies is temporary, and that it will be eventually vacated at millennium. You will not miss it in the name of Jesus. Say, I will be there in the name of Jesus. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. A little child, a toddler. We said to lion, stop that nonsense. And lion will say, meaning, yes, sir. Are we together? This so-called terrible animal, they will comply. Why? Because man has been fully restored back to the fullness of his dominion mandate. As it were, in the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 19, where Adam will say, lion, that's your name, and lion will say, yes, sir. You recollect that in Genesis chapter 2 verse 19, the scripture mentioned that God brought all the animals to Adam to name. And whatever name he called them, that was the name thereof. So life started with man as physical responsibility, as practical responsibility. Are we together? All this religious thing came as a result of the fall, and God will put an end to it. And that is the purpose of Christ. Are we together? And the cow, verse 7, and the bear shall feed. Can you see that called marriage? The English people call marriage of inconvenience. But at millennium, it's not going to be a marriage of inconvenience. It's a marriage of convenience. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like ox. Lion will lose its appetite for eating flesh. And the sucking child shall play on the whole of the house. A sucking child will carry serpent and play with it, and serpent will not bite. Hello? And it is that kingdom life that Jesus came to give us. And the wind child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. Verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. I will be there. Somebody say, I will be there. Now what will take you there is accept Jesus and live the Christ-like life that will make you rapturable, and that will make you to return with Christ to reign on earth. Are we together? So, why we wait the millennium tranquility, as we have read in Isaiah 11, the responsibility is still on us to exercise the dominion mandate, which, of course, was at no point withdrawn by God from man. Listen to me. Consequent upon all the way man has offended God, starting with our father Adam and our mother Eve, go and check the judgment passed on them in Genesis chapter 3. God at no time withdrew the dominion mandate. I expect somebody to be excited about that. The dominion mandate to be creative, the dominion mandate to tame nature, God did not withdraw it. The unfortunate and the ironical side of it is that the unregenerated are exercising that dominion even better and far more than the regenerated people who allow the religious mentality to suppress their creativity. Say, in the name of Jesus, I will no longer allow religiosity to suppress my creativity. Is somebody waking up this morning? So don't just wait for the millennium before you step into your dominion. Tap your neighbor. Say, don't wait for the millennium before you step into your dominion. So while we await the millennium, that responsibility is still on us to exercise the dominion mandate. And I said that God at no point withdrew the dominion mandate from man. That dominion to tame the nature. And how do we do it? Through using it responsibly. Tending it accountably as stewards who will render account to God. So hear and hear me well. The deliverance ministry, prayer, and miracles are not by this teaching being denigrated. Are we together? They are not being relegated. But our highest of understanding is here being open to the fact that negligence of our practical responsibility could be the spiritual legal ground that exposes us to torment from demonic forces. If we had not neglect our responsibility, we may not have some of the challenges we are having today. Are we together? So, know this about the devil, that the devil is not dumb. So you too must not be dense. You are not dealing with a dull devil, so don't be dense. The devil is very sensitive. Not only sensitive, very smart. So you too should not be sluggish. The devil is very smart to capitalize on physical failure to cause spiritual damage. Are we together? So the window the devil assesses most of the time to cause spiritual damage is the window of physical failure. And I want you to know that very well. Even in the book of Genesis, go and check it. You will discover that it was the ladder of physical failure the devil climbed, okay, to make Adam and Eve to experience spiritual damage. The duty to take charge that was directly handed over to Father Adam, he neglected it and sublet it to Eve, who sublet it to the devil. And so, what should happen in that garden of blessing, okay, was being dictated by the devil instead of Adam taking charge. Negligence of duty. Negligent in the area of physical responsibility, and the devil seized upon that to cause spiritual damage. I pray, in whichever area you are neglecting your physical responsibility and the devil is using it to cause spiritual damage, may your eyes of understanding be open. May you rise up to your responsibility in the name of Jesus. What do you say about King David? The scripture recorded that in the year, in the time, in the season, when kings goes to war, King David stayed back at home. Negligence of physical responsibility. And in the process, he was walking on the balcony of his palace, and his eyes went astray to see a woman who was bathing. And one thing led to another. The person that should be killing the enemies in the war front murdered one of his own generals. Because he ended up impregnating the wife of that general. Because he neglected to be in the war front. He was in the bedroom when he was supposed to be in the war front. You will fail exams, okay? If you are in the disco hall when you are supposed to be in the reading room or in the lecture room. Are we together? And then from there, you'll be tempted to put your hand in so many other dirty things to just manipulate to pass exam. And from there, you bring upon yourself spiritual damage. Am I talking to somebody? So, the devil is not dull. Don't be dense. The devil is very sensitive. Don't be sluggish. The devil is very smart. As much as it's within your capacity, avoid apathy. The devil is smart to capitalize on physical failure to cause spiritual damage. So, being alert to our dominion mandate could be useful to prevent the devil from causing both physical and spiritual damage. So, what do you do to stop the devil from gaining dominion over your life and messing up your destiny? Awake to righteousness and sin no more. Awake also to your physical responsibility. By that, we will be able to minimize human suffering. Hello? One other big benefit when we wake up to our physical responsibility is that we are able to minimize human suffering. When we stop igniting or hating spiritual torment with practical management failure. So practical management failure ignites human suffering. Are we together? Failure in practical management can aid spiritual torment. We have observed that in Adam. We have cited the example of King David. All these men fell from grace to grass, all because they neglected practical responsibility, and the devil turned that to spiritual frustration for them. Now, this explanation that I have just given should suffice to answer any question about a report recently going around, being circulated in the social media, that countries that pray the most suffer the highest from the twin problem of corruption and terrorism. I don't know whether you have seen that message circulating in recent times. Please, media, can you display a table of that report? There are two of them. The table one is a table of prayer versus corruption rank. Okay, you will find nine on column one. You will find Nigeria listed as number two on the prayer column. Then on the corruption perception column, which is the second column, you will find Nigeria listed as number 25. Then, prayer versus terrorism ranking. You'll find Nigeria listed as number what? Number two. And then, on terrorism, number eight. So, this statistic that rated Nigeria the second most praying nation in the world, still ironically rated our country as the second most corrupt, as 25th most corrupt. Am I right? And then 8th most terrorized. country should not make anyone to conclude that prayer is needless in nation building, because that is being used to sell a narrative that prayer is needless in nation building. Rather, from what I have shared with us this morning, prayer should complement practical responsibility and not to displace or replace it. Prayer complements practical responsibility, not displace or replace it. Because in the actual sense, it isn't that prayerless society are completely free of vices. Hello? They have only done a study on a narrow aspect of what is called vices. And they have that report. So, those other prayerless societies, so to say, they are also not completely free of some other vices. In fact, which are more terrible. And of course, they are not free of God's wrath if they remain godless. But this is one thing about God. God will not deny them the good life they deserve by their being alive to their management responsibilities. Because they are alive to their management responsibility, God is a God of justice. God is a God that operates the principle of sowing and reaping. Whatsoever a man soweth is what he will reap. So he won't deny them the blessing of orderliness in their system, the blessing of economic buoyancy, because they are supervising their economy properly. They are prudent in management. Are we together? But those other things that prayer should do for them and godliness should do for them, they can't earn it by this practical, by being up and doing in their practical responsibility. Likewise, those of us who have taken to prayer and we are neglecting our practical responsibility, our prayer will not translate to undertaking for us what we should undertake by exercising our dominion mandate. Am I talking to somebody? Still on the correlation between dominion mandate, negligence, and development, we must be aware that sometimes it is our failure to keep our environment clean, our failure to observe basic rules of hygiene, that has resulted into some health challenges that have become needless deliverance cases. And that situation can be changed, and very easily, when the needed medical facilities and the human capacity to manage them are readily available. Am I talking to somebody? I am talking to leaders, because you are a leader in your own right and God is taking you somewhere. So the target of this message is for you to have the right orientation as against the wrong orientation that has led us to the mess in which we find ourselves now. So a decent environment in terms of spiritual purity and physical cleanliness, more often than not, cannot be demon friendly. Hello. Hi, sir. When in terms of spiritual purity and physical cleanliness, you exercise your dominion mandate, your environment cannot be demon friendly. In Mark 9:25, Jesus referred to a particular demon of affliction or sickness as a foul spirit. Hello? And foul spirits operate in atmosphere of spiritual corruption and physical dirtiness. Are you with me, church? Mark 9:25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Then let's check Revelation 18:2, where the scripture similarly refers to demons as foul spirit. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great, is falling. Is falling and has become the habitation of devils. So how do you make your environment habitation of devils? Okay? When you live in sin and when you are negligent in taking charge of your neighborhood. Not only spiritually, but also in terms of doing the right thing to make the elements in your environment, okay, service their purpose, or serve their purpose, rather. You allow all the grasses in your neighborhood. To turn an environment that should have an aesthetic horticultural look, okay, to a forest, and you abandon and losing the spirit of snakes. And it's become the habitation of devil and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. So this is my understanding of something that is foul. What is foul implies something dirty, something decaying. You don't do your dish until you want to eat another meal. You know, there are people who do that. If they don't have a reason to eat, they don't wash plates. And so, after they are finished eating, fly will feast on the remaining one. Maggot will grow. You get to their sink, the kind of odor you are hearing. And every time, they are bringing their children to the pastor to anoint and to give olive oil to drink, because the child always has stomach pain. Why would the child not have stomach pain when you are always feeding your child with germs? Because you will not do your dish and sanitize your cooking environment. Am I talking to somebody? So foul spirit of sicknesses and affliction will take over your abode. And it's not because the devil is powerful, but because you are careless. Because you are negligent. Because you are not taking charge. Am I talking to somebody? So, to me, foul means something dirty, decaying, polluted, something stinking. And of course, several use of the word in the Bible in relationship to the environment and spiritual health agree with that line of thought. In Exodus chapter 7, verse 21, and other places in Exodus where the plague afflicted the Egyptian, the word foul was used in association with water and air pollution, which brought death of both land and sea animals. I quote just Exodus 7:21 for brevity of time. The fish that were in the Nile died, and the Nile became foul. Now, that river Nile was their source of water. Foul spirit did not have access to it until animal died inside it and were left rotting inside it. Are we together? so that the Egyptian could not drink water from the Nile. And the blood was through all the land of Egypt. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 18. The prophet Ezekiel metaphorically depicts spiritual pollution this way. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and to have drunk of the deep water, but you must foul the residue with your feet. You now say we are dealing with cholera in Africa. When instead of building toilets, okay, and using them properly, we do, what do you call it? Short puts. After you mess, you defecate inside the nylon, okay, you just throw it anywhere, and rain will fall. And then we carry it into the water body, and the same water body, without proper treatment by the water board, is piped back into your home. That word foul was used again by Jesus to depict unfavorable climate. This suggests to me that if Jesus were to live among us today, his voice will be heard in the conversation about climate change. Am I talking to somebody? In Matthew 16:13, and in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Now, Jesus will not just observe that if he were living among us today. If he observed that the weather is foul, okay, he will also say, woe unto you, the foresters. Woe unto you, pollutants of the air that are depleting the ozone layer. Are we together? You will hear his voice on environmental protection. And today, we think the gospel is just about bring tithe and bring offering. We are not concerned about what is happening to our environment. Am I talking to somebody? So, Jesus used that language foul, or that word foul, to depict unfavorable climate. Denoting that if Jesus were to live among us today, his voice would be heard very loudly in the conversation about climate change. And I'm quoting Matthew 16:3, where he said, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh yeah, hypocrite! You can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? So in that case, let me teach you the better sequence of exercising dominion mandate. And the better sequence of exercising the dominion mandate God has given to us as man is to first and foremost practically eliminate, remove the physical or human error. Remove the physical or practical negligence that can empower Satan to colonize your spiritual space. So when it looks like as if the devil is gaining the upper hand in your affair, when it looks like as if, okay, the devil is the president of Nigeria, and any other person will vote into power a figurehead, because you will not be able to see any serious change. So, before we start to cast out demon and devil, the better sequence is to first and foremost practically eliminate the physical or human error. The negligence that has been empowering Satan to colonize our spiritual space. Why? If you are complacent in managing your physical space, the devil will take over your spiritual climate. Hello? I want to hear that clearly. Take it back like the Berean church. And cross-check again and again if what I'm teaching you is right or wrong. But I've established it from you that the window the devil accessed to even make man to fall in the Garden of Eden was the window of physical negligence by which he was able to cause spiritual damage. Okay, Ọlọrun o mojuto to ye ki o mojuto eso si ni raye lati towo bo nti ko saye fun lati towo bo iwo lo sile ko fun ota le su fi gbajoba. Am I talking to somebody? So the better sequence of exercising our dominion mandate is to practically eliminate the physical or human error. Why is it that God will demand from us to confess and forsake our sin before he will accept us? He knows that to confess and forsake the sin is within our capacity to do. Are we together? How to now make effort is his own responsibility. He will package us for it. He will make that possible for us. Am I talking to somebody? So I say it again, the better sequence to exercise the dominion mandate which God has given us as man is to practically eliminate the physical or human error. Now, what is wrong with our religiosity is that we transfer our responsibility to God. We slip over our responsibility and we want angels to abandon their responsibility to God and start to fix our own problem, which in the first place are within our capacity to handle. So let's first practically eliminate the physical or human error, eliminate the negligence that can empower Satan to colonize our spiritual space. Why? If you are complacent in managing your physical space, the devil will take over your spiritual climate. So, it's therefore worth being noted that the sequence of operation in the Garden of Eden, as I keep on emphasizing at creation, was that God allowed Adam to start his day with attending to his duty. The duty of keeping and dressing the garden. After which, he would then visit him in the cool of the day for fellowship. Can you see the degree to which God recognized the place of attending to your physical responsibility? Keep dress the garden and he will give a space and allow Adam to take charge of that. Then in the cool of the day, he will now come. So, God will not distract him from that physical responsibility in the early hours of the day. But do you know that today, one of the prayer is not our problem, but the procedure and the approach. There are many prayer meetings that distract us from our practical responsibility going on today. Hello? Very soon it's going to be New Year. Okay? And for the first 3 months of the year, first 3 hours in the morning in church, last 3 hours in the evening in church, for the first 3 months of the year, at the end of the year, you look back and you are saying, I cannot count blessing. How will you count blessing when you have wasted the womb of the year? Am I talking to somebody? These are not easy to accept. Hallelujah. In fact, it's comfortable for me to stay away from saying things like this so that I can continue to be good friends of my colleague pastors. But for how long shall we continue to deceive ourselves? So any prayer you want to pray for 2024, start it now. Are you with me? So that when 2024 comes from January, what did the boss of you share? My father said, that was how we were brought up in the native way. Okay. Hello, are we together? And that's why I said, even all regenerated minds, sometimes they all stand this principle better than the regenerated mind. The Yoruba literary genus that gave us that is it rhyme or poem? Okay, I don't think he's a believer or a pastor. What the name of our Lord, Siri or Emi? Hallelujah! As you do, Lordy Pepe, Ani Eni Eni, Emi of our Lord, Tatete. So, in my study of the book of Genesis, you know, God has allowed me to stay very long this year on this Genesis chapter 1 to 5. And he keep on giving me light and light upon light, bringing richer conviction on some of the things I have said in the past. So the explanation that described the cool of the day that God chose to visit the garden as evening hours agree more with the general principle of walk before rest than any other school of thought. Are we together? So keep and dress the garden, then he keep a space. Okay, allow him to observe either 6 hours, 8 hours, or 12 hours of work. And then in the evening, we say, okay, now you have work, let us relax. So if you sit him in the cool of the day for fellowship. Genesis 3:8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So it is instructed, therefore, to also note again that Sabbath and work were structured to be a ratio of 1 to 6. 7 days. How many for rest? Answer me, church. 7 days that God worked. Okay? Or 6 days God worked, then 1 day for rest. And then eventually, he now make it a kind of a law, a principle to be observed. Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah. By the Jewish nation. That 6 days you must work. 1 day you do what? You rest. So, the Sabbath and work were structured to be a ratio of 1 to 6, whereby more days were allocated to work, chief of which was originally the oversight function of management of creation, management of the environment, management of the material world. Then, when we also look at the rule that God gave to Moses, those rules were not just about Israel's relationship with God. They were not just rules on interpersonal relationship with their fellow men. It also included their relationship with nature. Are we together? Their relationship with environment. I am now teaching us on sequence of better exercise of the dominion mandate. Not just coming to church to come and cast out demons. I have said to you that I also hold in high esteem that mandate, okay, to cast out devils. Otherwise, I will be underutilizing the power of the Holy Spirit that is upon my life. Are we together? But like Jesus will say, this you have done, this that you are neglecting, also do. So he gave Moses rules that to govern the nation of Israel, which was made a model and a type for other nations of the world. And those rules were not just about relationship with God alone or interpersonal relationship with fellow men. It also includes relationship with nature and environment. E.g., as basic as how to handle defecation. How to handle it was given to them. So, open defecation was forbidden for them. Indiscriminate cutting of trees, as we are doing today in our country, and has increased desertification, and has increased natural disasters, such as wind blowing off our roof, because we have cut off almost all the forest that should stand as windbreaker. Because as individuals, we are not conscious that's part of our responsibility. And the authority themselves, they're actually not looking at all those aspects. Just get into government and make as much money as you can make. No matter what, whatever happened to the future generation is immaterial. Deuteronomy 23. I read verse 12 and 13. Thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whither thou shalt go forth abroad. Whenever the Israelites were moving in the wilderness, when they camp anywhere, you see, God was meticulous and careful enough that he told them, okay, you don't just step out of the church auditorium, okay, and just move behind that security post and start to urinate. Or look for another cover, as we find it done in some places. Okay? And then, particularly the women, open your wrapper, bend down like that, and just defecate and walk away. Go to our markets, where they sell the food that we buy. The mercy of God has been keeping us very greatly. No toilet facilities. The mama that is selling cheese, the child wants to poo-poo. Okay, we just go to the open space on the road where people are passing. Have you not seen that happen in a market? And then the boy will do the thing. Okay? And then the mother will be saying, those who wear it as socks will soon come. Nobody will pack it. Okay, it is the buyers, people that are moving up and down in the market that we... This one will come, step on it, pick some parts. Another one will come, step on it. One of you won't quite have a one batter. But over 6,000 years ago, or close to 6,000 years ago, when God was giving Moses instruction, he was not just giving them instruction of how to pray alone. He was saying, if you want to defecate, don't stay in the camp. Move away from the camp. Not only that, verse 13, and thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon. A paddle means a kind of a hoe. And this hoe, the reason they have it is not the one that they want to weed their farm. And it shall be when thou will ease thyself abroad. You have moved away from where you have the natural of the people. You are now somewhere in the bush. So even in that bush, thou shalt dig their wheat and shalt turn back and cover that wheat cometh from thee. But we just see on Psalm 105 that while Israel was in the wilderness, there was not a single feeble person among them. You have read that, you have quoted that. Bring back time, Israeli, to one in the Agiju. Am I talking to somebody? For every miracle that you see, you also see a part of human responsibility. And so we can no longer see such kind of miracle today because we are failing the aspect of human responsibility. So there was no single feeble person among them because they were also living hygienic life, not careless life. One of our big brothers, when we're growing up as believer, Jim Holy Ghost brother, just born again. Okay? He has this tradition of plus Jesus minus Satan. He want to eat food, he will not wash his hands. But that for one day, plus Jesus minus Satan. When you know, I know a lot of people. You know, but I'm about to cool down. Shall have a paddle upon thy weapon, and it shall be when thou will hit thyself abroad, thou shalt dig thy way, and shall turn back and cover that which cometh from thee. You will dig, you will pull, and then you will cover it in the wilderness where they are traveling. Oh, they are not staying there permanently. Yet God gave them rules of public hygiene, and up to today, okay. We are still doing open defecation in Nigeria. So people are so archaic, okay, that they are not comfortable using the water closet. Like David was thirsty of the water of the well of Bethlehem. So they are thirsty in a city to find a bush place where they can go and turaka. Hello. It's good to be native, but not to that degree. Hello. I'm familiar with her. Deuteronomy 20:19. When thou shalt besiege a city a long time, in making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an ass against them, for thou mayest eat of them, and thou shalt not cut them down, for the tree of the field is man's life, to employ them in the siege. Indiscriminate falling of trees was forbidden for them close to 6,000 years ago, which today is our common practice and has led us to so many problems, many needless situations. Erosion is taking over all our landscape. So, in the strictly Christian living context, if godliness connotes emulating God, responsible living of care for fellow men and protection of the environment, including plant and animal, can therefore be classified as practical act of godliness. Can you see the kind of concern God showed for our earth? The kind of concern God showed to protection of the environment. And so, if godliness connotes emulating God, then be responsible in the area of care for fellow men, care for animal, protection of the environment can also be classified as practical act of what? Godliness. Yes, ma paro. Ma sagbere. Hello, are ton wa nothing ni ma doti. Are we together? Are na ni ma yobu. Am I talking to somebody? There's somebody ma doti. Ma yobu. So, if godliness connotes emulating God, responsible living of care for fellow men, and protection of the environment, including plant and animal, can therefore be classified as what? Practical acts of godliness. I saw you something in Psalm 35, or 36 rather, verse 5 and 6. Psalms is not just book of prayer, it's also book of instruction. Hello? It's also book of principle. It's also book of standard. Go and read Psalm 119. Okay, making us to realize what the word of God is supposed to be to us. Precepts, instruction, command. Mention them. Are we together? Verse 5, Psalm 36. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the cloud. Verse 6 is the focus. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Righteousness is like the great mountain. And when God uses word, he doesn't just use word and fail, okay, to dissect for us the meaning. Are we together? So, Christianity is not a faith of terminology. It's a faith of understanding. It's not just a faith of nomenclature and vocabulary. It's a faith of what? Understanding. And so, when words are used, those words are dissected for us to understand. Then, reading for that. Thy judgment are a great deep, O Lord. Thou preservest man and beast. So, the hair passes, thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Now, what are those things that now constitute that righteousness? Preservation of man and beast. Hello? But here is a country whereby life is not precious to us. If life were precious to us, we would not leave our road abandoned. Again, and every year, the road safety corp will be telling you also so number of accidents happen. What are we doing to mitigate so that it doesn't happen again in the consequent years? But you enter another year, okay, and you look at the budget, you will discover that the budget meant for pleasure is far higher than the budget meant for building and maintenance of road. So that the death of people can continue. Am I talking to somebody? Yes, the righteousness is like great mountains. Then what are those things that constitute the righteousness of God? That God preserved man and what? Beast. Listen to me. I have studied myself and I am so afraid to keep animals, either chicken or goat, because I know that by the time I wake up in the morning, I can so bury myself studying the scripture or receiving insight and writing that I will not remember until it is another 2 days that I have not fed my animal. And so I stop it. Are you with me? Are you with me? My wife loves to keep animals, but anytime she's talking about it, I avoid discussing it with her so that she will not say, I do agree, passing her money. I do agree with all of us. Are you with me? Why? Because I understand that part of what has exhibit as righteousness is to preserve man and what? Beast. So, God demonstrates that physical care is not limited to man. To the degree that when God was giving the law of Sabbath, he made sure that that commandment to rest on the Sabbath, the animal too are exempted from work as well. It was that serious. Are we together? The message is the keeper's spirit. Exercising our dominion mandate beyond spiritual abracadabra. Exodus 20:10. But the 7 days is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In thou shall not do in thou. Indeed, thou shall not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy man servant. Look at the sequence. Yourself, your son, your daughter, then your man servant. Righteousness means do unto others as you do to yourself and as you expect them to do unto you. So, not that you pamper your own child like egg, okay, and you treat other men's children, your custody, like worthless entity. Somebody said that last week. So when you are resting, okay, also create time for your housemate to also rest. It's part of the content of godliness. Am I talking to somebody? Nor thy maid servant. Now, God now extended it beyond the human cycle. And I say, nor thy cattle. Nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. So, under the law and wisdom, by law, we are talking about the writings of Moses. By wisdom, we are talking about Psalm, Job, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. It is considered a sin to be cruel to animals. By the dominion mandate, we can heed them. But we are not permitted to maltreat them. Children, that you just see chicken and carry stone and throw at it, it's a sin. Stop it. Animal preservation was included as part of the reason God did not eventually destroy the city of Nineveh. You know, the city of Nineveh sinned so much that God sent Jonah to them that, listen, in the coming days, I will destroy you. Then eventually, God decided against destroying them. And as we check the report, we discover that animal preservation was one of the reasons that city was not destroyed. Why? The psalmist says, he preserved man and beast. Jonah 4:11. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 600,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. And of course, our Lord Jesus Christ pointedly drew our attention that God cares about birds and plants in a jealous manner. In Matthew chapter 6, he spoke about the birds of the air. He also even spoke even about the lilies of the valley. But let's check verse 25 and 26 of Matthew 6. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barn. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? What is this suggesting? That God care even for animals. And I conclude today, by the grace of God, we'll still continue next Sunday, that appreciation of nature is part of the building blocks of responsible living. One of the things you should embrace, Okay, as somebody who is socially responsible and by extension, godly, is that you must appreciate nature. Number two, be a good citizen. All these are part of your spiritual stewardship. They are part of what? Why is God so passionate about preservation of nature? Nature is God's instrument because it also possesses the capacity to inspire spirituality. It possesses the capacity to inspire what? Spirituality. And I can tell you a lot about that. A young pastor visited my home one day. You know that I live in a place that is almost secluded. And he sighed, and then he said, "No wonder, no wonder, no wonder, no wonder. You always come on the pulpit to give serious spiritual insight, and you teach with depth." What is he saying? The environment allowed for me to meditate. Are you together with me? So, nature is God's instrument because it also possesses the capacity to inspire spirituality. God speaks through nature. Psalm 19, 1 to 3. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament seeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night seeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So sometimes God can use nature to preach better than Riabonke. God can employ nature to preach better than Benny Hinn. God can exploit nature to preach better than E.A. Adeboye. God can exploit nature. The message that Kumuyi preached and somebody refused to listen to, God can exploit nature to preach the message to that person. Are you with me? And when nature preached, it preached with a universal language. It preached what? Universal language. And that's why creative artists can communicate through elements of nature. You can look at a work of an artist, and if you have a troubled mind, you can get a message that will calm you down. So what then is our responsibility as keepers? Let us keep nature attractive to men who are destined to encounter God through that window. Let us keep nature attractive to men who are destined to encounter God through that window. It got to a point, the wise man discovered that a good majority of the people in the society were laggards, living the lazy life. And it looked like as if nobody can actually preach any message that will make them to change their way. Then he said to them in Proverbs, you see chapter 6 verse 6, "Go to the ants, use sluggards, and learn his ways and be wise." So this is part of the reason why God is interested in nature, and he keeps both man and beast. Father, your counsel has been declared again. A marriage has been established between spiritual responsibility and righteousness. I mean, physical responsibility, spiritual responsibility, and godly living. I ask that your Holy Spirit will apply this message to the heart of your people.
and they will live the Christ-like life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Hallelujah.
We believe you'll be blessed by the ministry of this message. You will do well to be the doer of all you've heard. For further inquiry and spiritual help, contact this number, 080-3568-5882, or worship with us at Oasis of Wisdom Bible Church, adjacent University of Ilorin Teaching Hospital, Okeosi, Ilorin. God bless you.